This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. The National Book Award is one of the most prestigious literary prizes in the country. It's been given every year since 1950 to celebrate the best writing in America across categories like fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and young people's literature. For the first time this year, they're also recognizing translated literature, the first new category added in over two decades. Tomorrow, the winners of the 2018 National Book Award will be announced, and there just happen to be three finalists with links to Vermont. Colin Calloway is originally from northern England, Yorkshire, but he now lives in Norwich. He's a professor of Native American history at Dartmouth College. His book is a finalist for the Nonfiction National Book Award. It's called The Indian World of George Washington, The First President, The First Americans, and The Birth of the Nation. Colin says he wants readers to appreciate the presence and influence of Native Americans in the early days of the United States.
My book is really about how Native America and Native Americans shaped the life of George Washington, who, of course, is the man who shaped the nation. The larger question that I wanted to address in writing the book was how Native Americans were omnipresent in the early Republic, how Indians and their land determined important actions in Washington's life. But the Indian world of George Washington is actually the Indian world of America at the time. And one of the things that I think we do when we look back to that time period is that we impose our own understanding of, if you like, how the story ended, and think of Indian people as being quite easily swept aside, dispossessed of their land. That was not the case. And the United States in the early years was a very fragile and very precarious proposition. There were no guarantees that it would succeed. And one of the largest challenges that confronted it was the presence of Native Americans. And one of George Washington's largest challenges as president was dealing with Native America, especially because he understood that he was building a nation and that to build a nation, it had to be built on Indian land. And I think that is probably the core to understanding this book, the acknowledgement that this is, after all, a nation built on Native American land.
Calloway has worked at Dartmouth for a quarter of a century. For this book, he got a fellowship at the Fred W. Smith National Library for the study of George Washington in Mount Vernon, Virginia. He says the fellowship allowed him to immerse himself in Washington scholarship and give uninterrupted time to work on the book. He says he was shocked by the nomination and pleased his work may reach a wider audience.
I don't know what to think. It is obviously a great honor, and it was a huge surprise, and I think I'm still adjusting to it. But I'm particularly gratified because for years, many of us who work in Native American history, and I've got colleagues all around the country, have been doing this work, and often it doesn't get a lot of traction outside of academia. And obviously Native people, Native communities understand it. But in terms of a wider understanding of the history of the United States, I think the presence and the central importance of Native Americans is not usually appreciated. So this public recognition of this kind of work, I think, is gratifying, and it's very nice for me personally. But I think I'm also very pleased to see that.
On the fiction front, there's author Rebecca Mackay. She attended Middlebury College's Breadloaf School of English, where she got her master's. She and her family now spend their summers in Leicester. Her novel, The Great Believers, is about a group of friends in Chicago in the late 1980s. The book follows the character of Yale Tishman.
And we follow him from 1985 till 1992 at the height of the AIDS epidemic in Chicago. And we're with him as his life both falls apart and takes on much greater meaning. Every other chapter, though, is set in 2015 Paris, where the younger sister of someone who died of AIDS back in the 80s is traveling and trying to track down her estranged daughter, but also dealing with all the emotional turmoil of the past decades.
Thematically, Mackay says the book is about friendship and surviving.
Survivor's guilt for on the one hand, but also what it means to fight for your survival. And that's something that I believe is really relevant for so many people now, fighting for survival when a government doesn't care if you live or if you die. It's also a very hopeful book, and I would say it's defiantly hopeful.
Mackay says the National Book Award nomination is validating, but the discussion about her book and the stories readers have shared are even more rewarding.
I've had such wonderful conversations around this book as I've toured and traveled. I've enjoyed so much talking to people about their own memories of the time of the AIDS epidemic, their own life stories, and knowing that this nomination means that the book will get into more readers' hands is the thing that makes me happiest.
In children's literature, Montpelier author M.T. Anderson's latest book, The Assassination of Brainwyn Spurge, is among the nominees. He co-wrote the book with illustrator Eugene Yelchin. Anderson says he wanted to imagine what it'd be like to live in your typical fantasy world, but in the part of the world run by the bad guy.
The Assassination of Brainwyn Spurge is sort of like a spy novel, but set in Mordor. This is not J.R.R. Tolkien's world, but I'm saying this sort of the land of evil. And I kind of was wondering, what would it be like to be a goblin citizen of the land of evil? Like in fantasy novels, they always are just cannon fodder. They have no culture. They have no individual personalities. They're just kind of like killed routinely. So in a sense, I thought, what would it be like to be in a nation run by a dark lord, run by a kind of an evil presence?
Anderson says the book is meant to be funny, but he says the way the book uses its illustrations adds another level to the story.
The way that Eugene and I conceived of it was, Eugene said he wanted to illustrate a book in which the illustrations were not simply depicting what is already said in the text, but where the illustrations were at odds with the text, where they are in conflict. So the idea is that the illustrations are from the point of view of this hapless elfin emissary who's gone into the kingdom of the goblins, and they're his view of what that nation is like. And then the text is from the point of view of one of the goblins. So the reader suddenly finds themselves with two versions of the same event, trying to see how it is that these two incompatible cultures can understand each other and can somehow find a way to work together. It suggests the way that all of us are always telling stories to ourselves about what we see, in that oftentimes we don't understand how other people see things. Oftentimes we see the same events in diametrically opposed ways, and that can fundamentally change the way we react to other people and other cultures and that kind of thing.
Anderson says he's honored to be nominated and that this year has special significance.
I'm happy to be nominated this year when it's the first year also that they are recognizing books in translation. I think that this is an exciting new thing for the kind of the American world of letters, that the National Book Award is recognizing global literature and the way that the literary traditions of the whole world contribute to the richness of literature in this country.
And for all the aspiring writers out there who feel they have a book inside just waiting to be written, Rebecca Mackay has some advice on how to get that book on paper.
People who want to write need to approach writing as the study of a craft, not just as the telling of one story. A lot of people feel like they have a book inside, so they come at it thinking they just want to jump in and tell that one story. But if I think about, you know, if I were going to study photography, I wouldn't approach it as I'm going to go out and take one great photo and think that that one great photo was going to hang in a gallery. I would approach it as an apprentice, and I would learn a lot about photography before I tried to make my major work.
That was Rebecca Mackay, Colin Calloway, and M.T. Anderson. They are three finalists for the National Book Award who live or work in Vermont. The winners of the 2018 awards will be announced tomorrow.